It's always interesting to come to the end of a series that we've been, we've been doing this for about 3 months now, going through the Psalms each week, and think back on, you know, what were some of the goals at the beginning, what were, you know, what was my understanding of the Psalms, and just to see how that has grown and changed. I wonder if someone asked you, how should I pray? If someone asked you how to pray, how would you respond to them? Sometimes when people, I don't know if people ask, has anyone ever been asked, how do I pray? No. Yeah, maybe a couple of you. I get asked that probably more than a lot of you. And in part because I always want to be encouraging people to be praying. And in our focus groups, in our small groups and other settings, we always encourage people to be praying out loud for one another. And that's a really shocking thing for a lot of people. It's hard to, for a lot of people to pray out loud and to feel comfortable with that. And so sometimes when people ask me, well, how do I pray? I don't know what to say. Sometimes I say, you just talk to God, right? Like, I mean, you have a conversation with someone else. You can tell someone else what you need, what you want, what's going on in your life. And you can tell God that then. You know, it's quite that's really that simple in some ways. And I think there's something to that. Jesus himself says you don't have to be eloquent to get God's ear. You know, you don't have to have all of the right words for God to hear you. He says, in fact, God already knows in advance what you need. So you just ask in whatever words you can come up with. So there's something to that. But when Jesus was asked that exact question, how should we pray? He didn't say, just talk to God. He actually gave them a prayer. And he gave them a prayer that really, when we look at it, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, it's about this collision between God's kingdom and the world we live in. That's what the prayer is about. Really, the heart of that prayer is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven and earth being brought together. That's what the prayer Jesus taught them is about. He taught them how to pray that God's kingdom would come and be made manifest in the world around us. We live in God's kingdom on one hand. For all of us who have said, I want to follow Jesus Christ with my life. We live in God's kingdom. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And we are also living in the world, which in many ways isn't quite God's kingdom, right? God's will isn't always done on earth as it is in heaven. We can just watch the news or pick up the newspaper and see that not everything is the way God desires it to be. And so we as Christians wrestle in between, or in these two realities at the same time, in the reality of God's kingdom and in the reality of a broken world, we wrestle with this. And that is what prayer is. Prayer is wrestling with God in the midst of these two realities. I chose Psalm 25 this morning for our last psalm because I think in some ways it's a good reflection of a lot of the themes that we've looked at this summer. I hope you've noticed that prayer and the Psalms aren't just one thing, aren't just asking God for something. They're not just praising God for something. The Psalms cover the entire human experience. We've talked about praise, of course, last week, but we've also talked about confession and lament. We've talked about Psalms being a request for wisdom and communicating what wisdom is. We've talked about Psalms telling a story and giving God thanks for the story that we have of God's works. We've talked about the Psalms as a plea for justice in this world. We've talked about how prayer and the Psalms are so many things. And I think Psalm 25 really gets at a lot of these themes. Verse 1 and 2 is maybe my favorite. And if you want to define prayer, this might be a really good definition right here. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. This is what prayer is, right? Lifting up our souls, lifting up our lives to God, saying, God, I'm trusting in you. Take it. Take my life. Prayer is making yourself available to God. And that's how the psalmist begins. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. And then the themes that we've looked at. In verses 2 and 3, we see that the psalmist is asking God to protect his people. And we've seen that before. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exalt over me. Do not let those who wait for you, do not let your people be put to shame. We've seen that theme before. We see the theme of asking God for guidance and shaping us. Make me to know your paths, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. It's a request that God would make us the people that God wants us to be, and a prayer that God would be with us, be present with us. This sense of desperation that goes all through the Psalms, that God would be with us. In verses 6 and 7, we see a confession. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but according to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. In other words, he's saying, don't treat me according to what I've done. Treat me according to your love. Remember that, friends. We ask God not to treat us according to the things we've done. We ask God to treat us according to who God is. And God is love. And that's the prayer of confession in this psalm. We see praise. Good and upright is the Lord. He leads the humble in what is right, teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. We see praise. We see a statement of trust. He says, those who follow the ways of the Lord will abide in prosperity, and their children shall possess the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and so on. We even see, as we looked at last week, some of that anger expressed that we experience as human beings, right? This plea for justice at the end. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Guard my life and deliver me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. There's that sense of, I have this opposition, and God, I need you to take care of that. I think this is a healthy view of life. This is not looking at life through rose-colored, naive glasses. This is not being overly cynical. Everything in life stinks, right? Sometimes we can be curmudgeons, especially as Christians. You know, we know how things should be, and we know how many things aren't the way they should be, and so we can go through life, you know, we probably know some Christians who are like that, who go through life just very cynical and always upset about the world. And that's not what this is. This is a broad understanding of what humanity, of what faith, of who God is, that moves through lament and confession and trust and praise and thanksgiving and so many things. That's what prayer is. And that's what prayer can be. This way for us to make ourselves and our entire lives available to God and say, God, this is what's going on. You know it. Come, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so since this is the last week of this series on the Psalms, I want to just be really clear what I want you to take away from this summer, all right? Maybe God had something else to say to you, and that's great. So listen to God by all means. But here's what I want you to take away from our series on the Psalms this summer. Wrestle with God. Let your faith have room for you to wrestle with God. Because we're all wrestling with life. We're all trying to figure out, how should I live? What should I do? What kind of person should I be? How should I treat this person? How should I deal with this situation? We're all wrestling with life. Wrestle with life with God at the same time. That's what God does. I am not great at this. I have to confess to you. I think I'm a little better after this summer, actually. But I'm not a great wrestler. I just kind of sometimes just go through life and try to ignore, you know, things that I would rather not deal with and just kind of focus on the things I rather would deal with. And I don't always wrestle with life very well. But this is the invitation of the Psalms, is to wrestle with life. And I hope we can appreciate, if you've been reading through the Psalms this summer, I hope you can appreciate just the honesty the raw, primal you and me of the Psalms. This is who I am, God. No pretense, no putting on airs, no pretending we're someone we're not. We're these super holy people, we're these super religious people, right, who have it all figured out. No pretending. This is who I am, God. And this is who you are, God. And learning who God is. This is not the God of cliches. This is a God who reaches into clay and breathes into the nostrils of human beings to give us life. This is the God who came as a human being and walked the earth and had dusty feet that needed to be washed and washed his disciples' feet. This is a God who died on a cross, who experienced the whole range of human emotions in the midst of tears and blood and betrayal and all of the things that we experience as human beings. This is a God who knows and who has experienced it. And we don't, God is not some this thing way out there who set the world in motion and then just kind of stands back and watches it all unravel. This is a God who is involved and wants to be involved in every single part of your life. Wrestle with God. Get into it with God. Be real. Let your real life come before God in prayer. That is what the Psalms are about. And in this wrestling match with God, give it your all. Give it your all. But be willing to lose when you pray. Give it your all, but be willing to lose. Which means this. You have things you want out of life. You have deeply held convictions and beliefs. Bring those to God and say, God, this is what I think. This is who I am. This is what I want. And wrestle with God. And sometimes God will change things just the way you want them. And there are lots of places in Scripture where God said he was going to do one thing until one of his people prayed and wrestled with him. And sometimes it takes a whole conversation. And sometimes, Moses does this, Abraham does this, the founders of our faith do this. They have this conversation, God, don't do that, do this. God, don't do that, do this. And the conversation goes on for a while, and eventually God says, fine, I'll do it the way you want. Wrestle with God and bring your all, but be okay with losing. Because there are also lots of times where God doesn't do exactly what we want. And in those moments, you know what God is doing? He's making you the person that God created you to be. That's the worst case scenario in our prayers, that God would make you more like Jesus. Sometimes that happens by not getting what we want from God. Remember that Israel means God named his people wrestles with God. This is what Israel means. God's people are people who wrestle with him, with the realities of life, with the realities of God's kingdom. Friends, this world doesn't need more people in churches on Sundays. This world doesn't need more people who check Christian on a survey. Because we get all upset. The people who say they're Christian is going down in this country. It doesn't need more people who check the box Christian. It needs more Israels. The world needs more people who wrestle with God, who bring the realities of life, our lives and the world around us before God and say, God, do something. Do something. Needs more people who make themselves available to God and are willing to be shaped by God's kingdom. Needs more people who are willing to bring all of their lives to God. As Paul said in the verse from Philippians, in everything, present your requests to God with thanksgiving. In every circumstance. The world does not need more people who say prayers. The world needs more people who wrestle with God in prayer until either they win and God changes something, or until God wins and God changes them. And so to your language of prayer and your understanding of what prayer is and how you practice prayer, I want you to add this phrase, wrestle with God. Amen?